How do you make diversity a reality, especially when it comes to women in tech? We need companies to roll up their sleeves and get serious about creating real opportunities for women, from coders to leadership positions. It's lunchtime, and I'm in a meeting room at Infosys Consulting in Melbourne's Docklands. The IT consulting practice operates globally, including Australia and the Asia Pacific, and has set out to improve diversity and inclusion in their workforce. Company partner Jayant Sharma called the Brown Bag session to announce that Infosys Consulting would be taking a closer look at diversity targets, recruitment policies, career development, and company branding. To talk about the need for diversity, they've invited two change champions who are leading the charge and delivering a more balanced and diverse IT workforce.
What we've got to do is open the eyes of tomorrow's females and let them be the leaders they want to be. So don't put them in a box and don't be the result of gender inequality.
That's Chris Skipper-Conway, CEO at GMT People and chair of Vic ICT for Women, one of the inspiring change champions you'll hear from shortly. First, though, Louisa Nutt. She's associate board member for the Vic ICT for Women Network. Raised by gender-blind parents, Louisa has been working in the IT industry for over 12 years, predominantly in software development delivery, and she's passionate about equality in IT. Louisa says often she's the only woman in the meeting room, which has prompted her to mentor women and girls to help amplify female voices and be part of the IT diversity solution. She tells us why gender diversity is so important.
Despite 70% growth in ICT jobs since 1996, women account for only 16 to 18% of ICT jobs. The percentage of female technology graduates has been in decline since 1989. That is actually quite worrying. Workplace Gender Equality Agency 2014 statistics show that professional, scientific and technical full-time statistics of females are 27.3%, whereas men full-time represent 50.9 full-time employees. So there's quite a difference there. And part-time, you see that it's 15.5% for women and only 6.3% for men. This to us indicates that a lot of this is parental responsibilities, and obviously people make other life choices, but this does indicate to us that a lot of employers don't provide enough flexibility to the men, which shifts the burden on women to take part-time employment rather than being more representative full-time. Female and males display similar levels of capability and achievement in maths and science, yet they make very different career choices. Females and males are usually expected to have different interests. These expectations and the toys they receive provide different experiences, providing different areas of confidence and also different grooming of our children. So when we look at the statistics of maths and science scores by gender, we see that actually for both maths and science, the difference between male and female scores in school is negligible. So it's not that any gender is particularly better or worse than the others, so it's not that. That was at one point a theory, but we can actually see from the data that actually that's not a contributing factor. We also know that with the behaviours and praise, there's a critical age of development with children between the age of 1 and 3 years old, that we tend to, with females, when they behave in a way that gives a successful outcome, we recognise that and tell them how smart they are, which is not a bad thing. But with boys, what we do is we actually reward the effort. And consequently, what happens is when they get a bit older, we find that with the girls, if they try something and they don't get it right, they don't get the "you're very smart" reward. Whereas boys, if they try something that's a bit harder and they don't get it right, they still get the "good effort, mate, try again" reward. So what that translates to is that we're grooming and rewarding the behaviours for boys to take the challenge on, and they'll get the reward irrespective. And for girls, they tend to not want to take the challenge. They tend to take the route that they feel comfortable in, and they're more risk averse. We also find that the toys that we give our children has an influence. So if you walk into the boys' section of a lot of department stores, and I acknowledge that many department stores have changed this now, which is great, but if you walk into the boys' section, there are typically toys such as Legos, Tinker Toys, tool tables, marble ramps, and the girls' section has kitchens, dollhouses, dolls and stuffed animals. So thus begins the socialisation of what girls and boys should do and practice, and confidence building, influencing what girls and boys can do. So we are actually helping our girls learn to be carers, and unfortunately we're not helping our boys to become great carers, and they have to learn that later in life, which is a harder time for them to learn it. So it affects the bottom line. Gender diverse organisations have a higher than average comparable revenue, and men and women have different viewpoints, ideas, and market insights, which enables better problem solving, ultimately leading to superior performance at the business unit level. And that's statistically proven. It's not just an idea anymore. There's a lot of data to support that. A gender diverse workforce provides easier access to resources, such as various sources of credit, multiple sources of information, wider industry knowledge, and gender diverse workforces allow the company to serve an increased diverse customer base as well, because you're considering 100% of your market, not just 50%. Gender diversity also helps companies attract and retain talented women. This is especially relevant as more women join the labour force around the world, and companies cannot afford to ignore 50% of the potential workforce and expect to be competitive in a global economy.
Louise is definitely doing her bit to keep the IT industry accountable. And another woman who shares Louise's commitment to gender diversity in the IT industry is Chris Skipper-Conway. She's the CEO at GMT People and chair of Vic ICT for Women, an organisation dedicated to getting more women into IT and expanding their potential. Growing up in South Africa during apartheid and witnessing discrimination against an overwhelming proportion of the population has made Chris a vocal advocate of equal opportunity. She was recently in New York to champion gender diversity as a participant and presenter at the United Nations Commission on the Status of Women. She spoke on women's access, participation, and portrayal in ICT. Chris is driven by the idea of making a difference in women's careers, particularly given the present imbalance in the IT sector.
So from my perspective, how we tackle it is one thing, but what we've all got to acknowledge, gender diversity is a real, real issue. And we've got to actually praise ourselves for some of the things we've done right. So we have had some gains, and some recent surveys have shown that there are actually some gains. Even today is a gain with all of us being here and actually being interested in the presentation, particularly having so many men joining us. And I think that just shows how important it is. But sadly, a recent survey that came out just after the last International Women's Day, so not very long ago at all, had some really chilling facts that hit home about how much still needs to be done. So sexual harassment is still rife in most of our corporations, and 1 in 10 young women under the age of 30 are experiencing it. And for me, that was a real shock that the numbers are so high. The other thing that came out, we uncovered that greater confidence is not actually giving women access to more leadership roles in the industry. So it's actually not working where we thought about getting confidence doesn't always translate into gaining career advances. It does for men. And for the men in the room, you'll be quite surprised to hear that it only makes a 3% difference. So confidence is important, but it's not giving us career gains. So that's what we've got to understand. So as Louise has just explained, gender bias is still here. Unfortunately, it starts in the home, it's rife in our schools, and as we know, it's really here in the workplace. And it's not just Australia, it's a worldwide problem. So by being here today, we're actually helping shape a problem that is worldwide. Surprisingly, in most organisations, women are still paid less than men. The statistics in Australia is that women earn in the IT sector about 17% less than their men counterparts for the same role. And one of the misnomers was that women were thought to be less interested in leadership roles, and that's been proved untrue. So there are a couple of points when girls no longer take an interest in the IT or technology and digital sector. That's going into school, because they're finding that they've been groomed and the subjects don't appeal to them as much as they do to the boys in the technology, STEM or STEAM subjects. Then when they hit university, they're finding that they're not getting the jobs, and so they are losing interest at that point again. And then at the 30 to 35 years, they're leaving the workforce. And then again, as they enter more into the mature worker, they're finding it harder to get into the workforce. Sadly, a lot of women leave, and when most organisations, you don't want your women to leave when they're at the prime of their technology growth, and that's about the 30 to 35 years, and they often go into venture capital, start their own businesses. But there too, they're finding that the funding available to women starting in the venture capital business, it's less accessible. And the questions that are asked of women starting in the venture capital business is extremely harsh. So we actually understand that if 65% of our workforce, which were the statistics not so long ago, still want to see more women in leadership, then I'll put it to you, we're just not doing enough. So the big but for me is that we've still got an industry that women are worried about starting a family because they know it will stall their career. 42% of return to work mothers are saying that they are overlooked for major projects and that they just feel they're not being used to their full potential. The other interesting factor is that Australia, unlike other countries, has not shifted its work culture to get the productivity gains from flexible working. And a very interesting presentation came out just very, very recently, so hot off the press. While we acknowledge that women make up a huge percentage of the workforce and the available workforce, that if Australia actually worked towards getting a more workforce gender equity in their workforce, that by 2020, we could raise the profitabilities within companies by 12%. Now, they put that back into a monetary term. That's 12% each year. So what they actually said was that the increase in it could be about 297 billion Aussie dollars per year. So what we've got to realise is this is an opportunity. It's not a problem. Nobody's pointing any fingers. What we're saying is, why wouldn't we tackle an opportunity like this? So what we wanted to do was put a rocket up the industry. Use companies like yourself who are actually making an active and measurable efforts to try and change what's happening. And really get not only industry to support young girls, your company's future and your children's future, but to support women to join IT but flourish in it and move into leadership roles. So what can you do today? You can really start countering the unconscious bias that will give you a more balanced workforce right now. Some of those things are your recruitment strategies. There are amazing tools around the world that are looking at how we advertise for IT roles. When you are talking to an IT person, you tend to talk from almost a male standpoint. So I run a recruitment business and I have to keep checking myself to make sure that I am being inclusive in the words that I use. For those of you that don't know, there's an amazing tool called Textio that actually checks the wording you're putting in ads, and the results are phenomenal. You will get more women applying to your roles if you use that sort of technology. The other thing is that We've got a 17% differentiator in salaries between men and women. For the women in the room, we know that's off-putting. But what I'd say to you is, one of the things we're particularly bad at is asking for salary parity. So what I call out to companies is, why don't you do something about it? Why don't we all get on the same level playing field and have openness about salaries? Make yourself an employer that attracts women to your organisation by saying there's no bias. If the job is going to be done by someone very capable, then let's look at the capability rather than the gender. Have internal programs like today, and I admire you for doing this, and that's why we're here, because we want to support you. And Vic ICT for Women is more than happy to help you supplement your own internal program. But don't give up doing them internally. You need to do them internally because it's part of your persona. Be recognised as a diversity partner, because that gives you the stamp of approval as being an employer of choice. So we've talked about the IT sector and the differentiators, but all corporations have ambitious corporate targets. And the clear link between the economic growth and gender diversity is in the spotlight for the leaders globally. I had the privilege of being in New York, where the OECD presented a paper on the empowering women in the digital age and where do we stand. Women stand in the shadows. We also know that by empowering women, we can grow our companies phenomenally. Australia, women actually hold less than 1 in 5 of IT management roles. Unconscious bias is alive and well. It exists in your teams, it exists in your recruitment processes, and it exists in your performance reviews. So you really need to walk in into those. It's almost like saying, don't just bring a brown bag lunch, put a brown bag on someone's head, and then you won't know, hopefully, the gender differentiator. So take it back right down to the recruitment phase. Women in IT are opting out at almost every stage of their talent pipeline. Girls are moving away from science and technology. Now, the sad fact is that that's your and my job on the line. So let's all get behind it and make sure that we're part of the growth and the future. So the percentage of women in technology in education is dropping really, really badly. I believe that we have that gap both at the very early age, and that's what the facts are showing us, that it's dropping off there. So Vic ICT for Women has created a program really to amplify the message to young people from the last 2 years of primary school through to high school and showcase what exciting careers they have. Imagine actually being there and showcasing what you're doing from a technology perspective. At the graduate level, we're seeing young girls moving away because they just feel that they're not getting into the jobs of their choice. They're not using their studies. They're actually walking to other fields. And what we can do at that graduate program is we're showcasing young girls to employers. So we're running a grad girl program for you. And if that's the point that you've got a slowdown in your particular organisation right at the moment, there's an opportunity to supplement. We have to keep the interest of women in IT. So how we've done that is showcased role models. Now, everyone in this room is a role model. And surprisingly, women do not want all women role models about what gender diversity is about. But if you ask a young girl, who's the role model of their future? Who can they see in their career future? It won't be women in IT because there's so few of them. So what we need to do is showcase those role models, and that's done through our importance of women. We also do amazing technology focuses, which is one of my favourite programs, which is called What's Hot in IT. And then we have a mentoring program that has about 200 people participating in that. So if you don't run your own mentoring program here in Melbourne, there's a way of supplementing what you're doing. It broadens your viewpoint. We've got some amazing men who are participating in that, and they actually give the women a different viewpoint of what they're feeling internally. So it works for both men and women. And then our last one is our leadership program. And what we realized was that earlier programs that we're looking at had actually been around either trying to supplement the corporation's internal programs or provide an avenue for people themselves to get additional knowledge. But we hadn't really done anything for the companies. So what our leadership programs are around is Bold Moves, which produced a white paper addressing problems companies were actually experiencing. And that's where Textio was used to change the messages. And then we've come up with the click list. In most meetings that Lou and I go to, we would find that we're one of few. So there are a lot of men in the meetings that we go to. There are a lot of men in the forums that we attend. And what women are saying is, where are the women? Why aren't they standing out and saying, if you want to hear about gender diversity, here is some women that can actually help your organisation or your forum, Project Management Institute, all of those sorts of forums, that they can showcase the women that are available and able to talk on various topics. So we've created Clicklist. And the Clicklist is a series of women that are available for everyone to access. It's free of charge. So what I'm saying to you today is just make sure that we all have one goal, to make the world a safer place and to respect not just gender diversity, but diversity as a whole. But I think we're thinking too small. What we've got to do is open the eyes of tomorrow's females and let them be the leaders they want to be. So don't put them in a box. And don't be the result of gender inequality. Thank you.
So, there's two women making a difference in shaping the future and our thinking when it comes to gender diversity, particularly in IT. That was Chris Skipper-Conway, and before that, Louisa Nutt. For more information about the work that Vic ICT for Women are doing, you can head to their website, vicictforwomen.com.au. This talk was made possible by Infosys Consulting, which create IT strategies to deliver maximum business value. You can find them at infosys.com/consulting. And this podcast was created and produced by Written and Recorded, a content creation agency with experienced journalists for hire. To get them to create your content, go to writtenandrecorded.com. I'm Sarah Pushenelmish, and I'm proud to give diversity a voice.